My dear family, we have talked a lot about judgment and the consequences of our sins, both personal and national, and it brings with it the sting of fear and punishment. My precious dear ones, God is not, quote, dealing with us, unquote, because of our sins. He is trying to guide us as a loving Father away from our sinfulness. To that end, he allows us to suffer a tiny portion of consequences and holds back the full force of what is really due to our sins. This is not punishment. It is loving guidance. Just like we used for our sheep when they tried to avoid the sheep pen at night, we made steering fences to funnel them into the protection of the sheepfold, because cougars, bears, and coyotes would kill them if they were not sheltered. Mike from around the world made a very good point. He believes that God has allowed the fires in California to get people to move out of the state before it is too late for them. So many know the big one is coming, but they ignore it and keep living there. Just because we belong to Jesus does not mean we are exempt from injury or loss of life when it happens. What it does mean is that our destination is heaven, but we may have to suffer intercessory suffering just before we get there. I would also like to add that another one of his prophecies talked about 3 nukes hitting the East Coast. I have seen these nukes in visions and dreams, and so has Ezekiel, but I believe they are being held back in order to bring more people to repentance. I also believe that the Lord has allowed New Yorkers to suffer from the virus because they backed abortion. Dear ones, when one is on the verge of death, they begin to think about where they will go when they die. Hopefully, they will consider that there may be a heaven and a hell. This virus is bringing people to their senses as never before. But I also believe that as we pray against the nukes and the fireballs from heaven, God in his great mercy, his incomprehensible mercy, holds them back and gives us more time, more grace, more mercy. This, I believe, is why we are not in a meteor storm or recovering from fallout on the East Coast. I also believe that there will come a time when Father God will no longer contend with the sons of men, but he will permit justice to stop those fully committed to evil, those who have refused his invitations time after time. Those who could care less about murdering others as part of a political agenda. I believe the Lord will do all he can to reach them, but the door of mercy will begin to close. This is what the Great Tribulation is all about. I think some people feel a certain satisfaction and self-righteousness when they talk about what this nation has coming to it. That is not the Father's heart at all. He allows these things to direct us back to prayer and reliance upon him and conversion, repentance and conversion. He allows the consequences of our sins to manifest in only a tiny portion because he loves us and wants us to change our ways, which are only damaging to ourselves and others who are innocent. I used to be one of those who got a sense of self-righteousness when I heard of catastrophes and loss for people who were in sin. I used to think God is a righteous God and they will get what's coming to them. But the Lord has revealed the deep pride of a hardened heart and ignorance of my own sins that caused me to rejoice, even if only secretly in my heart, when declaring judgment would come to a person or town. Mostly that attitude came from me feeling puffed up, self-righteous, and a messenger of doom sent straight from God to declare how he would destroy and punish them. I was self-righteous and didn't sin like they did. Therefore, I felt smug in warning that judgment was coming to them. I wasn't concerned about their welfare. I didn't love them. I was only concerned in seeing the prophecies of doom and gloom land and destroy them. Just like Jonah. What comes to mind immediately is the tower at Siloam that collapsed and killed 18 people. Jesus corrected that attitude among his disciples by asking them, or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam collapsed on them, do you think that they were more sinful than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you too will perish. I want to share with you how the Father brought me out of a state of deep sin before I ever knew Jesus. I was 33 and had just given birth to my first child while living with a man that I would later marry out of God's will. I had been searching for truth since my teens, and I was not satisfied with the answers I got from different clergy. So I began to delve into the supernatural. A lot of things made perfect sense, and I felt like I had found the hidden world that I'd been seeking. But a prevailing sense told me that I still did not have the whole truth. That was until one night when the Holy Spirit descended from heaven into my physical body and I was overtaken by a far greater power than anything I had ever known in the New Age. This experience was totally out of the realm of this earth as we know it. And I knew suddenly, without anyone teaching me, this was a visitation from the Holy Spirit of God. During that 45 minutes that my body was wrapped in a paralyzing ecstasy, I could not move. However, my husband at that time said, "What's going on? You're glowing." I was able to answer him, even though I had no knowledge of these things before. During that time, I was wrapped in divine love, something so secure, so profound, and ecstatically joyous that I have no words that adequately describe it. Everything was brilliant, white, like lightning, even though my eyes were closed, and I began to see all the sins of my life and feel deep remorse. When that ended, I felt encompassed and infused in the most gentle, forgiving, profound love I had ever experienced. I knew it was a taste of heaven and sent from God and not a familiar spirit. And even though my sins were horrible, I felt wonderful and clean and born again. My whole perspective changed. And I knew that I was loved more than I ever imagined was possible. All I wanted to do was cover my head, get a Bible, and read it from cover to cover, and find out who this wonderful God is. I didn't know yet that Jesus was the second person of the Holy Trinity. That was revealed to me during the televised version of Jesus of Nazareth. During the incident, I also began to recite Psalm 51, even though I had never read it or heard it before. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me clean of my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, and you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Let me hear joy and gladness, and let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Oh, how I begged him not to cast me away from his presence. I had never felt so alive and wonderful in my life. I was literally swimming in the waters of life, and all I wanted was to stay there forever. Dear ones, I did not arrive at that place of conversion because of threats of punishment. I was just blessed with a beautiful daughter. I was healthy, and things were going well. I was studying the New Age at that time, the Mayan Tarot deck, under a copper pyramid and smoking marijuana every night, searching out the mysteries of the universe. It was his overwhelming love that won me over, not some preacher pounding me with how judgment was coming and God was going to punish me. People who approach others that way are not giving an accurate rendering of who Jesus Christ or God the Father is. That is the Old Testament God of fire and brimstone and wrath, which I believe God will only use as a last resort among those who have repeatedly rejected a relationship with him. Jesus came to do away with that image of God and reveal through his own person that the Father is deeply in love with us, so much so that he permitted his only Son to take on the punishment for all of our sins and be crucified in our place. And here I want to talk about the great sign and the moment of inner vision, which was told to the four children in Garabandal in 1961. The warning is described as a momentary stopping of time around the world, with all people then seeing the spiritual condition of their souls and how they should amend their ways. Within a year of the warning, a miracle will take place, and the miracle will leave a permanent sign in Garabandal, which can be seen and photographed, but not touched. The miracle will occur between March and May. The punishment or chastisement is conditional upon how humankind reacts to the preceding warning and miracle. And that's from Wikipedia. I believe that I experienced that moment of inner vision that night when I was saved. I believe that's exactly what the warning is going to be like. And I have to say, yes, my sins were shown to me, but the overwhelming grace and revelation I received was of God's tremendous love for me, even when I was in sin. We can find judgment and criticism anywhere. What the lost hunger for is love. Lord, would you like to add anything? Jesus began, "Yes, I do, and it is very important in this context. You have heard much doom and gloom prognostications of nuclear holocaust, asteroids, tsunamis, and plagues. What I am here to tell you is that these measures are not retribution. They are not my Father scourging you from heaven. They are attention getters. They are allowed to cause you to go deeper in your lives from just living, success, and career, to look at where you will go when you die. We are trying to get your attention, and especially the attention of the lost. We are for you, not against you. The calamities that have been allowed are the partial consequence of sin lived out on the earth. Many of these things you have caused directly. Other things were inevitable. But above all, natural events and occurrences is the love that we have for you, our deep love for you and the desire to see you living in Eden on this earth. And to this end, we want a relationship with you. We want you to come to us expecting to receive help. Part of that help is in the form of obeying the commandments and living according to the rules of success we've given you. Not the success of an overflowing bank account, but the success of living in joy, peace, harmony, and happiness, the joy of seeing others around you prospering as well. Get rid of that punishment mentality, my people, and realize the profound love we have for you and our desire to have a relationship with you, imparting grace day after day to live a good life. But as things are now, everything is out of balance. Mankind has lost the ability to live life, and Satan has taught him how to destroy it. This state is what we are trying to rectify. When you see your children destroying important things that were given to bring them happiness, do you not step in and remove those things from them? Do you ignore the damage they are doing and how they're hurting others as well as themselves? Or do you call a halt and explain to them the proper way to behave? This is what is happening every time we allow something difficult in your life and in the world. My heart, people, is full of love and concern for you. Even in the littlest things, I intervene. Sometimes it's a parking place. Other times you run into someone needs you. Or it could even be the very last slice of tiramisu in the store. Yes, I love you even down to the littlest detail. And for that reason, we are trying to bring you home safely, back to sanity in an insane and demonically oppressed world. Even now, the actions we take are for your ultimate good. So please come to understand in this hour we need you to repent of those things that are not pleasing to us, those things that are a culture of death, not life, those things that tear apart the moral fiber of your children and family. Come to me, beloved ones. Truly, my love for you knows no limitations, and I will give you the graces needed to overcome sin in your lives. Reach out to others and pass on the message, a repentance of love. Repent because you are loved, and I want to bless your life, not end it. Repent because when you live in my love, by my rules, you will have great peace. Begin today to pray, ask forgiveness, and take new steps forward, leaving behind your old life of sin. I love you. I wait for you and want to infuse you with so much joy, a joy that no one can take from you, a joy that is not dependent on your circumstance, a joy that gives you strength to run the race to the finish line. Oh, come to me, please, dear ones. I have so much favor to bestow upon you. You, in turn, have only to spend time with me. Pour out your heart and know that I am listening and even responding. When you write in your journal to me, listen after each thought you write down, and then write whatever you hear. You may be very surprised to find that I do speak to you, and I care deeply. I am always with you, but you must learn to always be with me.